Before we stand and we read a verse of scripture, we're going to do a little assignment. Here we go. This is where our card comes into play, okay? So you're going to get your card out and get your pen out and be ready. And some of you are thinking, oh, here we go again. Grant's up to one of his shenanigans. And you're right. Here we go. We're going to use this card, and I pray that this will help us see some things, okay? All right, so I'm thinking that if I lived to be 90 years old, I'd be lucky. I don't think I'm going to get to be 90. How many of y'all think you're going to live to be 90? A few? Well, gee whiz, y'all must be eating right or something. I don't know. Let me just burst your bubble. You probably won't live to be 90. But if you do, great. Hope you celebrate your 91 and 8th birthday. But let's just say most people don't live to be 90. Fact, okay? So most of us in here, 90 is a good number. So go ahead in the upper left-hand quarter, put 90 on that. Put 90. You might need to get your phone out too as well here pretty soon as we begin to calculate some things. Then put a minus sign after 90. 90 minus, and then put your age. And then put your age. 90 minus, and then your age. Then hit the equals button. And this now becomes a little index card that is the whole card fact of reality. So at best, I've got 49 more years to live. At best. Then I'm gone. I'm out of this world. I'm not guaranteed that. I could only have a week left. You know, something about midlife. Well, I'm midlife. Well, if you know the end time of when your life is going to be over, you may be midlife, but you could be three-quarters life. Right? I mean, you may be close to the finish line and not know it. So at best, though, I've got 49 years. Some of you have less than that. Some of you have more than that. Some of you may have 20 left. Some of you may have 15 left. Some of you may have 60 left. Okay? So let's get this reality. We're going to look at some other things, too, on this card. This card is going to, through the Word of God and the facts that we write down on this card, is going to reveal some things to us of what we need to do with the time that we have left. Underneath the 90 in another line, put the word house down there, house. Put house down there and put your monthly mortgage, whatever that is. You're not writing your name on this card and turning it in, so this is just for you. So write your house, your mortgage, your rent, whatever it is that it is a month, and then multiply that by 12. And then that gives you what you spend on your house, just mortgage alone, not talking about repairs or fixes and all that kind of stuff, in a year. Underneath that, put car. Or cars, plural, if you have more than one payment. Put down your monthly payment for your vehicles. Multiply that by 12. That tells you what you spend on cars or your vehicles in a year. Again, that's not counting your gas. That's not counting maintenance. That's not counting all of that. That's just what your payment is as your car. We good so far? Some of you, are you depressed so far? Some of you are thinking, Lord, I thought I'm supposed to go to church to feel good about myself. No. We come to church to hear from God and live under His authority. And sometimes we have to have a little eye-opening experience to get ourselves back on track. Amen. Sometimes the doctor needs to say, you know what? You're unhealthy. You better change something before you finally say, okay, something's got to give. Now, under the next line, put clothes. Clothes, your clothes. How much you spend on clothes for about a year. Maybe go ahead and do this one a year, but estimate. You know, it doesn't have to be exact. Estimate. This includes shoes, ladies. This includes shoes. Estimate, think. How much you think you spend about a year in clothes? Then in the line underneath that, recreation, just things that you like to do to have fun, movies, bowling, you know, just recreation, fun, blow money, spend money, golfing, you know, hobbies, things like that. Travel team sports for parents, that kind of stuff, just recreation, all that kind of stuff. How much do you spend about a year for that? We have just two more items here. We'll move on. The next one, write vacation. Vacation. Oh, vacation. How much do you spend a year on vacation? You know, what do you usually spend a year on vacation? So you kind of got to start seeing your life, your years, what you're spending money on, where your time's going. And then on the last one, put church. Put church. How much do you spend, how much do you give a month to the church? And then multiply that by 12. Now, not how much you would like to give to the church, but what you actually give, right? Oh, I'd like to give. No, not what you'd like, just what you actually give. And now you'll get to kind of see your years of life and then priorities of where your finances go. Let us stand for the honor of reading God's word. And we're going to, don't throw this away, we'll use this. We need to look at that at the end. Read Job chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Matthew 6, 33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity to look at your word. As we look at Matthew, Father, and we look at what you're teaching us and calling us to and how to live, I pray that you would speak to us, Father. Lord, that you would open up our eyes, God. Maybe this little index card will be able to reveal to us some things that we treasure that we don't need to treasure. And I pray, God, that you would help us to focus our eyes toward you and our heart towards you. Help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand this morning. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. And I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to be able to talk about money this morning, and I'm excited to be able to talk about money because I'm in good company, okay? Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven and hell. Just to throw out some examples of some of his sayings on treasures, on money. He told one individual, "One thing you lack, go sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. Blessed are you, poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And woe to you, rich, for you have received your consolation. Whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. A person's life does not consist in his possessions that he has. Sell all your possessions and give alms. Provide yourselves with purses in heaven." Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to your house." The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. Jesus saw a poor widow and she put two small copper coins in. And he said, "Truly I tell you that this poor widow has put more than any of you all, because she has given all that she has. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Over and over and over through the Gospels, we hear Jesus teaching us about money and wealth and treasures and finances. And he's letting us know that we need to be very careful not to put all of our focus in the worldly possessions of what we can acquire. That life is more than just the 90 years, if we're lucky, that we have to live. There's a higher purpose in life than just acquiring and gaining and having a bunch of stuff. He tells us to be generous people, giving people. Jesus, at one time in the Gospels, he speaks on tithing. And when the Pharisees come, and he says to them, you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but you neglect the weightier things of love, justice, and mercy, which you should do, but you shouldn't leave these undone. And so what Jesus is saying is that, you know, tithing is, it's a no-brainer. For Jesus, tithing is a given. That should be the floor. Many times we as Christians, and we believe that tithing is the ceiling. Tithing is what I need to try to get to, the goal that I'm trying to achieve. But the New Testament say, no, tithing is the floor. It's where you start. It's not where you end, it's where you start. I mean, Jesus, we saw this last week when he's talking about how the scribes and the Pharisees interpreted the law, and he said, you have heard that it said that if you commit adultery, do not commit adultery. He says, but if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Jesus always ramps up, not brings down. Why would we think that an Old Testament saint would bring more to the house of God than a New Testament blood-bought believer who've experienced God's grace? No, in fact, we read the book of Acts, and we see sacrificial giving. We see people selling their possessions and giving to anyone's need, bringing it to the apostles and letting them distribute that. And we see a sacrificial and giving. In fact, Paul, in one of his letters to the Corinthians, talked about how a church that was poor, but yet somehow they brought in a generous offering. And he commended them for that. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver. And those of you who take class 201, you know that the Greek word for cheerful is hilarious. Where we get our word, hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. You know, it's time to give. I get to give. And the New Testament calls us to sacrificial giving, which goes beyond just what I can give, but it moves to, wow, I have to sacrifice something that I want to give. It's different. Why would we think? You know, I love it when people say, well, you know, the tithing, I just don't believe in tithing. I just give whatever God lays on my heart. Well, why is that always less than a tithe? Why didn't God lay on your heart something more? I don't think it's God laying that on your heart. I think it's you. Because when God calls us to do something for his kingdom, he calls us to be generous, extravagant. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus is going to help us focus so that we can use our time and our resources, our wealth, for his kingdom and not this world. Matthew 6, verse 19, he says, do not, this is a command, this is Jesus saying, do not store up for yourselves treasures where? On earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, in the biblical days, just like it is today, precious metals were valuable, okay? So we still value gold and silver and that. And the clothing was extremely important. Their clothing brought a lot of wealth. You know, those who were extremely wealthy had the higher quality of clothing materials. But the thing about clothing materials and about precious metals is that moths can eat them. It can destroy the clothes. The metals can rust. The things that you try to protect, even when you try your best to treasure them or protect them or keep them safe, they can still deteriorate. How many of y'all have ever dinged your car and you didn't paint it over it like you should? You didn't do the proper thing? And what happens? It rusts. Things fade away. The things of this world does not last forever, right? We all know this. We all know this. Your shirts wear out. Clothes wear out. The house breaks, you know. The faucet leaks. All things wear down. But when you treasure something, you really covet it and you protect it, don't you? Some of y'all got some guns that are valuable. And you like to keep them in a safe, right? But even the things that you put on lockdown and you try to hide and you try to protect, thieves can come in and get it. Our stuff can be stolen, right? And so Jesus says, do not put all of your energy, efforts, time into storing up treasures on earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with saving. The Bible says that we need to do that. There's nothing wrong with having things. It tells us that Abraham was a rich man. It tells us that Solomon was a wealthy man. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. Lydia was a wealthy woman. So it's not that if you have a lot of money, you're evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money's the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So he's not saying that you can't have stuff, but you cannot let stuff have you. You cannot let money own you. You have to use it wisely. You have to invest it in something that's going to last. So what are treasures on earth that we have? You know, our home, our car, our vacations, our sports, our hobbies, all these things are things that if we're not careful, we can begin to pour all of our energy, effort, and life into storing up those treasures. Look at verse 20. He has said in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And then in verse 20, he says what? But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. Right? So the clothes we wear in heaven will never wear out. The stuff that we have in heaven, the precious metals in heaven, the gold and the silver and all of the precious metals in heaven will never rust. There will not be a thief that can come in and steal what heaven has. So he says, put your treasure there. Now look, he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Okay, this isn't me, this is Jesus. And he calls us and actually commands us to live in such a way and to have the mindset that what I do here, the way that I live now, the way that I invest my time and my money, will have a future reward. And it's okay to live your life in a way to where you are storing up treasures in heaven for a reward. There's going to be rewards in heaven. So all you Bernie fans out there, Jesus is not a socialist. Heaven's not socialism. Not everybody's going to get the same reward in heaven. Now, everybody who knows Jesus is going to be in heaven, but we're all not getting the same rewards. Some people invest their life into the kingdom of God and pour everything that they have serving Him, following Him, loving Him, investing their time and their resources into the kingdom. They're storing up treasures in heaven. They're going to have treasures in heaven. They're going to have crowns. There's all kinds of rewards. There's different types of rewards, and we're going to be able to throw those at the feet of Jesus. There's going to be responsibilities. We're going to work in heaven. Work's not a bad word. We're going to have jobs. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many. So I believe that how you live for the kingdom is going to impact what you do in heaven. And I believe that you have the ability every time that you give your tithes and your offerings, or you work for the Lord and serve Him faithfully, that you're laying up treasures in heaven. So when you invest in the kingdom of God through His church, because the gospel gets to be proclaimed to not only adults, but kids and children. And we get to help people in this county, and not this county, other county. So when you bring your tithes and your offerings and your sacrificial gifts before God, it's storing up treasures in heaven. Serving in the church with a pure heart and reason why you do it. That's why I don't like to use the word volunteer. I don't like to say you volunteer your time. We see what we do here as servants. We're servants of the King. We're serving Him. Because what you're doing is you're not volunteering here, you're investing here. When you teach those kids in children's church, storing up treasures in heaven. When you come and clean the church, and nobody knows you've cleaned the church, but you just do it because you love God and you want to serve His church, storing up treasures in heaven. When you lead and teach Bible study because you love God and you want to worship Him by using your gifts and talents, storing up treasures in heaven. He says to store up treasures in heaven. How bad and how shameful it would be when you get to heaven and you just make it by the skin of your teeth. Paul talks about that. Everything burns up. The foundation stands because the foundation is Jesus. But everything burns up. You're like a guy whose house gets caught on fire and you just barely escape and everything's gone. You see, Jesus told the Pharisees, you love the applause of men. You love to pray on the street corners where everybody can see you. And you get the applause of men. That's your reward. Good job. You're known as someone who prays. There's your reward. You give and you sound and you make the sound of your giving so loud that people notice when you come and give. There's your reward, the applause of men. How shameful it's going to be when we stand before God and we have nothing to bring Him because we've not invested in His kingdom. We've not given our time or our resources into His kingdom work. And we spend it all on ourselves, doing what we want to do, buying what we want to have. And we have a boat. And we say, here's my boat, Jesus. Good job. You had a boat on earth. Good job. It rusted, didn't it? You know, here's my look at my home. How nice my home is. It's not wrong to have a home, but I mean, that's all you're investing in is just a home. The one in heaven can outshine that one. Here's this one. How bad is this going to be, parents of travel team people? When all you got is the little medallions around your neck. You spend all day long spending all kinds of money, traveling around all the state, playing games. They got a medal. Or the cheerleaders that go out and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on outfits and costumes and do all these things, they get a trophy. See our trophies, Jesus? That's what we get to bring to you. He'll say, good, way to go. You got your trophy there. What about the kingdom? Where'd you invest in the kingdom? Now, I'm not against travel sports. We got a girl. She's in travel softball. We'll do that stuff. But I tell you what, I will not let the travel sports outshine the kingdom of God. Won't do it. I won't spend more on softball than I will the kingdom of God. I won't do it. I won't spend more on a vacation than I will the kingdom of God. I won't do it. I'll not spend more. I will not rob God so that I can go and enjoy and have things for me. God first, then if I can go on vacation, I'll go on vacation. If I want to go see the mouse, I'll go see the mouse. But I'm going to give God His first. Amen. Nothing wrong with going seeing the mouse in Florida. But I will not invest in this world more than I will the kingdom of God. I've got 49 years left at best. I better make sure I'm living it for the Lord. I better invest in his kingdom with all that I have. He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You can disagree with me all you want. That's fine. But this is what Jesus is saying. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where you spend your time, your energy, your resources, your wealth, your finances, how you invest that will either tell me and tell God, tell anyone that you are either investing in the world or you're investing in the kingdom. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where you pour your resources in, that's what you love most. And so if the kingdom of God and his work is important to you, then it will show. How can we store up treasures? There's two ways. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, instruct those who are rich in this present world, which would be every one of you all. Right? How many of y'all have heating and air in your home? How many of y'all drove here? Did you drive here? Man, you are wealthy. Most people in the world don't have heating and air. They don't have a place to call home, and they don't have a vehicle. How many of y'all can eat three times a day? How many of y'all can eat three times a day? Some of you eat five times a day, and some of you may only eat two times a day, but it's not because you have to only eat two times a day, but it's because you choose to eat two. But how many of y'all could possibly eat three times a day? Never mind. Wealthy. There's a large percentage of the world that doesn't get three meals a day. So he says to all of us, do not be conceited or to fix our hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Do not place your hope in worldly, earthly, or the uncertainty of riches, but instead place your hope in the God who richly provides. Place your hope in him. Go to the next verse, verse 18. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in what? Good works, to be generous and ready to share. How can we store up treasures in heaven? Through your works and through your wealth to the kingdom of God. Now, you're not buying your way into heaven. You're not earning your way into heaven. But you're storing up treasures in heaven by what you do, how you live your life. By treasuring God and his word and making a dedication to read it and live by his word. By spending time with him in prayer. By leading other people to Jesus. By serving him. By using your gifts and talents. Your good works. The way you treat people at work lays up treasures in heaven. When you pray for those who persecute you, laying up treasures in heaven. When you live for godliness and live a life of integrity, laying up treasures in heaven. And when you invest in the kingdom through your giving and being generous and blessing people, storing up treasures in heaven. I will serve my church, and I'll serve outside of my church. I'll make sure that when I am doing the ball teams and when I am doing that, I'm praying for those kids and I'm using that as a way to witness as well. I will use everything I possibly can, my works and my wealth, for the kingdom of God. I will use every possible means so that I might invest in the kingdom of God. I will enjoy some of it. We will take some vacations. We will buy a few things and I'll have some fun. I'll go golfing occasionally and I'll get to enjoy some of that, because that is one of the gifts God gives us, is to enjoy the fruit of our labor. But I will not love and cherish and hold on to the fruits of that labor more than I will the treasures of heaven. The Bible does say the generous man, he himself will be blessed. He goes on in verse 19, storing up for themselves, what? The treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. How many of y'all got a 401k? Depending on the economy and the world, it could all go, right? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a 401k, but what I'm saying is you cannot put all of your hope and faith and trust in the earthly economy. But you better be investing in the heavenly economy. If you want stuff that's going to last, you're not going to find it here. You're going to find it there. Amen? How many years you got left? How much time? What will you do with the time you have? Look at verse 22. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. That's Jesus. Some of you got those red letter versions of the Bible. It's in red letters, is it not? You cannot serve God and wealth. Doesn't mean you cannot have wealth, but you cannot serve wealth. If all you're doing is living to acquire more and more and have, and you use it selfishly on just you and your kids, and you never invest in the kingdom and his work, you never bless someone else that has a need, you never are generous with your life, that's your God, wealth. You'll either serve wealth or you'll serve God. Is that what he's saying? That's what Jesus is saying. So you cannot live to just have things here, because there is a thing called heaven that is all eternity. You know, at best 49 years for me. That's blink of an eye, right? That's nothing compared to eternity. You see, James, and the Word of God is true when he says, our life is but a what? It's but a vapor. It's here just for a while and it vanishes. So what I do with my time, how I live my life, how I treat other people, how I live for the glory of God, how I use the resources and the money that he has blessed me with to pour back into the kingdom so that the Word of God can be proclaimed and that people's lives can be forever changed. It really does matter. It really does matter. So you got to ask yourself, are you going to invest in here or now? Your eye will be attracted to your God. And so if your eye is on the kingdom, then that means your heart will be for the kingdom. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If the eye is full of light, it will be clear and it will see clear. So I will live my life for the kingdom and the glory of God. But if my eye is in darkness, how darkness is that light? I will just spend it for here. There's a story in the Old Testament by the man named Achan. Your children learned about that a couple weeks ago in the Gospel Project. And God had promised the Israelites victory. He's going to send them to the land, the promised land. But they had to fight some battles before they got there. How many of y'all realize there's some battles in life that you just got to fight? So they had to fight some battles, and one of the battles was Jericho. Now, Jericho was an extremely powerful city. It had a wall built around it that was almost impossible to break through. And God gave them direction. He said, you're going to march around the walls set for 7 days. You're going to go around it one day, then you're going to do it again the next day. You're not going to say a word. You're not going to say nothing. You're just going to march. Then on the seventh day, you're going to go around seven times, and you're going to blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to collapse. They're going to fall, and I'm going to give you victory. Okay? And then he puts a ban on the city. He puts a ban. He says this in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. God tells him to, but as, go to verse 18, Joshua 6:18. Is there a 6:18? Let me read it right here. Okay, there we go. But as for you, he says, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not what? Covet. And coveting begins with the eye. So that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. Now verse 19. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. He says, I'm going to give you this victory. You're going to defeat Jericho. But all of the resources, the bronze, the iron, the gold, all of that, do not get a glance at that and think, some for me, and keep it. Instead, no, all of that goes to the treasury of the Lord. That goes to the kingdom work. Don't take what I told you not to and use it for you. That goes to the kingdom work. You clear? Does that make sense? That's what God gave them instruction to. And so they defeat Jericho, and they had this great victory. And then the next city is Ai. Ai was a smaller city. It was someone that they should have went and just wiped out. I mean, they just had a small group of people, and they sent some spies out there, and they came back to Joshua, and they said, man, we don't even need to take our whole army. Don't even worry about that. So he only takes 3,000 of his men out to this city, and they get defeated. And Joshua's like, what is going on? How in the world did we get defeated? We just conquered Jericho, and we come up to Ai. They're nothing, and we get defeated? What's going on? The problem was Achan. Achan was one of them that saw a miracle deliverance of God in victory. But he had a covetous heart. His eye was wicked, full of dart. And he treasured the earthly more than the heavenly. And so he took some of the spoils that God had said not to take. And he dug a hole in the earth. And he hid them in his tent. And so Joshua, under the command of God, calls all the people of Israel to come. And through the tribe of Judah is where Achan comes from. And Achan is brought before him, and Joshua tells him, be honest, come on, you got to tell the truth. And he says, when I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. He said, I took what the Lord said not to take. And I kept it. And I hid it. And the consequence of that sin and that disobedience was death. Him and his family were killed. And you think, whoa, man, that sounds like, I'm glad I don't live in the Old Testament. Man, because God, you know, I don't know if I believe in a God that would do that. No. I don't know if you just know what you think when you just said, I don't know if I want to live with the God in the Old Testament, because the God of the New Testament, for everyone who will not repent of their sin and turn and place their faith in Jesus as Lord, and who have lived their life solely for this world, will be thrown into an everlasting hell. there is a consequence for our rejection of God. We live for Him. We receive Him. We honor Him. We are saved by His grace and what Jesus did on the cross. And we come to Him and ask for His mercy and forgiveness. And He saves us and delivers us from our sin. And now it is our duty to live a life that glorifies Him, that honors Him, that makes it to where His kingdom has priority over my kingdom. How many of us are like Achan? How many of us keep back what belongs to God? Well, Lord, I know You said bring a tithe and offerings. But you know, I really want to go on this trip. I really want to buy this new gadget. You know, I really would like to do this adventure. I really need this new. And we take what belongs to God. And we don't honor Him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live for this kingdom. I want to invest in heaven. What about you? I want to read a parable and we'll close with this. You ready? And Jesus told this parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. I'm going to be generous. I'll just hoard it all up for me. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you've prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So your little card there, what you got? You got so many years left at best. If you see something that's out of line there and you think, you know what, it looks like I'm more interested in the kingdom of earth than the kingdom of heaven. But maybe I need to switch my priorities around a little bit. Maybe I need to have a change. Maybe my next step is to put His kingdom as a priority over my kingdom. What do you think? Store up for yourselves treasures. Where? Where? In heaven. How you spend your time and how you invest your resources display where your heart's at. If it's out of line, let's get it back in line. Need a realignment today. You're driving down the life of, and the wheel's wobbly. Because you're out of balance. You're not living for the proper kingdom. Today, let's do a realignment. Let's get things in order. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. Jesus, this world can be so attractive. The things of this world can be so appealing. And Lord, we can buy into the lie that more stuff brings more happiness, and that the more I get, the more important I am, and if the more fun I have, the more joy that it will bring. And that's a lie. That's a lie. Because I have discovered, Lord, and I know many have discovered, it truly is more blessed to give than to receive, as Your word says. So Lord, help us to be generous people. Help us to be heavenly minded people. Help us to be rich in good works. That our lives will be a light and a blessing to the others. And that we will be people of prayer and praise and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control, and that our lives will reflect that we love you. And Lord, let us use the resources that you've blessed us with to continue on the kingdom work, to bless and help those who are less fortunate than we are, to not hold on, but to release generosity. Help us, God, to live for your kingdom and to store up the treasures that will never rust, that will never be eaten, and that cannot be stolen. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Let's pray.